is Dr. Stan. Here is Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay, and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story, hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at, illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that's going to determine what the future will bring. I have to remind you the views that are expressed here are not those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of this station. They're my views, the views of our guests, the views of our callers. And, of course, we welcome your calls from out across America at 1-888-24-LIBERTY or here in the Central Coast of California at 464-8295. But please hold your calls. We have with us Senator Ray Haynes. He is one of the leading senators in the state of California. He's been up there in Sacramento for a number of years, fighting the battle for us for the preservation of our freedom, and in many ways a losing battle because, of course, the Democrats have the majority up there. They have almost enough to do whatever they want to, irrespective of what the Republicans say. But recently they've been having a debate over the budget because, of course, California is in terrible, terrible straits financially, and Senator Haynes and the other Republicans have been trying to hold the lines, trying to prevent a massive increase in taxes. Senator Haynes, thank you so much for being with us.
Well, thanks for inviting me on, Stan.
Well, why don't you tell us what's really going on up there? What are the chances? What's going to happen? Are we going to get tax increases? Are you going to have to compromise with them? Are you going to stand fast? Where do we stand?
Well, the just to kind of give you a little bit of the history here, in the year 2000, California had a $12 billion surplus. We are now dealing with a $24 billion deficit, mainly because our spending increased from $57 billion in the 98-99 fiscal year to $77 billion in the 2002-2003 fiscal year. That's just a real quick overview. Now, to cover that deficit problem, the governor has proposed increasing taxes $5 billion, borrowing about $7 billion, and essentially not cutting any spending, which means because our revenue dropped from about $76 billion to $66 billion in a year, he's not proposing any cutting along with that. He's trying to maintain spending at its current levels, and that runs us into about $11 billion more problems. So we end up with a major budget deficit, not just this year, but according to our legislative analyst, a budget deficit for the next 7 years at the current rates of spending, and that's with a $5 billion increase.
So what's going to happen now? They certainly want to increase the taxes. They want to borrow money. Now, I didn't think you could actually balance your budget by borrowing. These are bonds, and we're going to have to pay them back sooner or later.
Yes. No, the key part here, the key to solving the problem is either freezing spending until revenue catches up to spending and then paying back the loans that you made in the process of freezing the spending, or significantly cutting spending. In fact, I mean, a real quick solution, the one that I think is the best solution for Republicans, is if you took all of the growth of state government, that's all the non-education spending in California, and rolled it back to where it was in 1998, just 3 years ago, when California had yet to fall into the ocean and people weren't dying in the streets. If you did all of that, you would end up in the budget year with about a $3 billion surplus. That tells you how much Gray Davis has grown government. Is we'd have a $3 billion surplus if you just rolled spending back to where it was in 1998, and that's non-education spending. Now, that would still leave us with an $8 billion deficit because last year's budget had an $11 billion deficit in it. We spent $77 billion, took in $66 billion. So it'd take a couple of years to resolve that, but you could do it in 2 years if you literally cut the spending back that way. Now, what's going to happen? It takes four Republicans on the Assembly side to pass the taxes. Thus far, the Republicans in the Assembly have said, no, we're not going to raise taxes. It is my sense that they're going to hold, although I thought it took one Republican in the Senate to roll and vote to raise taxes, and the guy that ultimately voted to raise taxes absolutely assured me he would never do that.
Well, did he? What did he get in return? Because a politician does something like that, he's going to get something in return for it.
Well, we don't know yet, and we may never know until he's out of the legislature what he got in return for that.
But isn't that illegal to accept something in return for your vote? Isn't that selling your vote? Isn't that, it not only immoral but illegal?
There are 95 different ways to sell it without doing it illegally. It is illegal for somebody to come to you and say, if you vote for this, I'll give you this. But there's 95 other different ways to do it that don't directly violate the law or don't make it so that you can prove that a violation of the law occurred. And, I mean, it is correct, but our guys are smart enough that they're not going to go to jail over a vote like this. They'll just work it out. And that's why we never know until later on down the road what's happening, and then it's almost impossible to prove.
What do they do? Do they get a big fat government job or a good job with a corporation or something like that? Is that how it works? Or how does it really work?
Yeah, it could be a governor's appointment. We know that he wanted to be director of the Veterans Administration was one of the options that was being talked about. It could be a lobbying job. It could be any number of different ways that this thing can be taken care of, because if Gray Davis is governor in December of 2002, he can reward somebody who put up a vote like this in a lot of different ways.
Well, it really sounds like this represents one of the finest politicians money can buy. But be that as it may, are you going to be able to hold the assembly together, do you think?
It is my sense that we are, I have a couple of provisos on that, but thus far they've done a very good job of holding, and I believe that they've got a good message, no new taxes, and I think that indeed we're going to see them hold. I'm not going to promise it, but I think we're there.
All right, fine. Well, we're going to be back in just a moment with Senator Ray Haines, and we're going to talk about, what's going to happen, because, of course, the budget should have been passed a long time ago. It hasn't, and I'm proud of the fact that they've been able to hold it off so far. We'll be back in just a moment. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and this is the time when, of course, I have to mention to you that Radio Liberty is listener-supported, and, of course, we offer a number of items to help fund what we do. One of them is something called Phonixopoly. It is a board game. Actually, it's 5 board games and 2 bonus games that will teach children how to read, spell, and pronounce words phonetically. And in 16 to 20 hours, you can do all the harm that's been done to them in the government schools. You can teach them and reprogram their minds to begin to work and think in the phonetic terms with the language. We have a phonetic language. And when children learn the sounds and the basic rules, why then, of course, they'll be able to read throughout the rest of their lives. Most of these programs are actually $300 or $400. This is $139.95 plus shipping. Give us a call at 1-800-544-8927 and simply ask for Phonopoly Set. And then, of course, we also have a program for homeschooling, which we think is great. It will take children from grammar school, from the first grade to the 12th grade, with the tests, the textbooks, and the lesson plans. It basically on 22 computer disks, and you print out the textbooks, you print out the lesson plans. It's all there for children to learn, and of course it takes very little time on the part of the parent. And they do not sit in front of the computer. You want to get them away from the computer. You want to get them reading and learning to read and enjoying to read. Give us a call at 1-800-544-8927. If you'd like a packet on the program, along with my recent interview with Dr. Art Robinson, who perfected this, why, give us a call at 1-800-5-HIV-WAR. We call it the Robinson Educational Curriculum, and as they say, for $199.95, it takes children from the first grade to graduation from high school. It's a great program. Another of our fascinating 4 tape sets is entitled Concentration Camps, and it's 4 interviews with people talking about the move to establish concentration camps in the United States. Now, most people say that's foolish talk. We couldn't have that. And yet, if you listen to these tapes, you'll find out that those camps are a reality. They are being set up in case of civil disturbance. And, of course, the authority for the establishment of the concentration camps comes from the executive orders, which were actually put through during the time of the Reagan administration. For documentation of the location and the background to the formation of these camps, their establishment, and what may very well happen, or what they may be used for in the future, I suggest you call our 800 number, 1-800-5-HIV-WAR. That's 1-800-5-HIV-WAR for America. Our values, our future are under attack today. Well, Dr. Stan back here. Our special guest is Senator Ray Haines. How long have you been up there in the Senate now?
You know, this is my 8th year in the Senate, my 10th year in the legislature.
Oh, boy. Don't you sort of wish sometimes you could just go home and live like a normal person?
There are times when I think about that, and then I look at what these guys are doing, and somebody's got to fight them.
God bless you for what you do, Ray. Now, tell me, what happens if the Republicans hold fast, they refuse to compromise, then the Democrats are going to have to make some concessions, aren't they?
Yeah, that's in essence what's going on. What the Democrats have tried up to this point in time, you know, we've been real clear since January. We'll talk about any number of solutions that don't include new taxes. Well, what the Dems have said is, well, we're going to pass the new taxes, and we're going to try and bribe 5 of the Republican members into voting for the budget. They got 1 in the Senate. They need 4 more. They haven't gotten the 4 in the Assembly, and they have refused to deal with the Republican caucus as a whole. We put our position out there. We've talked about what that position ought to be. We've talked about what ought to happen and how they can balance the budget without raising taxes, and they basically said, well, we're not willing to do that. We're not willing to give up health care for illegal immigrants. We're not willing to give up free schooling for illegal immigrants. They passed a bill a couple of years ago to give reduced tuition to illegal immigrants. So we're not willing to give that up. We want to keep all those things in there, and we want to raise the taxes on the people of the state of California to do that. And the Republicans have said, we're not willing to do that.
Well, of course, obviously this is a play to try to get the Hispanic vote, but I would think there would be an awful lot of good Hispanic people in America and here in the state of California who are as much against illegal immigration as you and I are. What's your take on that?
Well, this is not even an issue of illegal immigration. This is an issue of people coming to the country illegally in order to get free government services, and then taxing the people who are legally here to give it. I don't care what your position is on the issue of immigration. That's just plain wrong.
Well, of course, this has nothing to do with immigration. I have nothing against immigration. It's the illegal immigration that I object to.
Yeah, and that's all I'm trying to say is whether you call it, it doesn't matter really what the issue is. The question is, should somebody get a free service from the government by breaking the law, number one, and then number two, asking those who are complying with the law to pay for it? And that's we basically say no.
All right.
That's not happening.
Are you getting that message out? I mean, this is the important thing. I think that the people of California need to understand what the Democrats are doing, and they are actually advocating breaking the law and rewarding people for doing it. But how do you get that message to the people? Because, you know, I read the paper quite regularly. I haven't seen that matter discussed in my local newspaper at all.
Well, in Santa Cruz, it's probably not being discussed all that much, but it is starting to penetrate the state. I do know that, I mean, that's one of the reasons I do these kind of programs. All up and down the state, this is the things I've been talking about. The message that I know has been getting out and has been relatively clear is that the Republicans have said, we will not raise taxes. And, you know, we're willing to talk about any solution that does not involve an increase in taxes. And if you'll sit down and deal with us, then we'll come up with a solution. If you want to try and bribe 4 of our members, then guys, go home. We're not playing that game.
All right, fine. Now, when does the budget legally supposed to be completed?
It's supposed to be done June 30.
All right, fine. Here we are halfway through July. So what's going to happen? Is the state going to have to, of course, the best thing that could happen, you know, would be for the state to shut down. I think it was Will Rogers who said, no man's pocket or purse are safe when the legislature's in session. But what about just cutting back on some of these non-essential government services? Can that be done?
It can be done, and it ought to be done. Our guys, the Dems are not willing to do that. When they get serious about this, they'll sit down and talk to us, and we will walk through how they can make this thing work. Until they decide they want to get serious. Right now, they're playing a political game. Their first game was the bribery game. Now they're trying to play a PR game. They're trying to run out to people and say, geez, these Republicans, they're not doing anything, and see if they can't pressure people that way. When they get serious about having a real budget solution, and that's a budget solution without increased taxes, they'll sit down and talk to us, and we'll walk them through what can be done, and we'll negotiate a deal. But we're 3 weeks late because we told them back in January we were not going to vote to raise taxes, and they did nothing to cut spending, to reduce the size of government, or to deal with the Republicans on the issue. And today, it's what, July 16th? And they still have done nothing. 7.5 months later, and they still haven't sat down and talked to us about it.
Well, now, of course, how much of our budget deficit relates back to the energy crisis and the fact that everything that was done wrong? And, you know, we signed these long-range contracts, we're going to have to eventually somehow pay off PG&E and Southern California Edison.
All of that is above and beyond the current budget deficit. In other words, if we don't deal with that issue, that adds $9 billion onto our budget problem.
Well, how will we deal with that if that's not even on the table at the present time?
Well, what they want, they don't need legislative approval for this. Governor Davis doesn't need legislative approval for this. He's going out and borrowing $9 billion to pay that back, and then he's going to tag that $9 billion onto your electrical bill.
It's going to be put, in other words, it's not going to be paid for by the taxpayers, it's going to be paid for by the ratepayers. That's really going to drive our electric bills up tremendously, isn't it?
Absolutely. And understand, that's one of the problems you're running into is there's a concern among the lenders, the people who will be lending us the money to cover that hole, that we're not going to get the money back to pay the loan because people will be cutting back on their electricity or moving out of state because the electricity bills are so high. So I say that only because that's an issue that will come up in October. It's not an issue today. And if it's not solved by October by this governor, our problem is not $24 billion, it's $33 billion.
Well, now, what about this Oracle situation where, of course, the governor is giving favored treatment to the people who gave him a large sum of money and for a non-competitive bid? Isn't that an illegal act?
That it is my opinion that this governor got a $25,000 contribution, at least. I think there's more out there that we haven't found, but at least $25,000 to sign a contract that will cost the state $96 million, $41 million of which was unnecessary. In other words, he basically gave Oracle $41 million profit for nothing. We got nothing for it.
Well, you'd think he'd at least get, $1 million if he's going to give them $41 million. There's a man without any principle at all.
Well, it is our estimate, based on what we have seen, that it was somewhere, the contribution was not $25,000, but somewhere in the neighborhood of $400,000.
All right. Well, is there any way to find out for certain? In other words, is there anybody in law enforcement who will do anything, or is it simply so locked up in politics that Bill Lockyer is going to look the other way, as he did with, of course, all of the major electric companies, where he was supposedly investigating to find out if they were cheating? And of course they were cheating and running up the bills, but he could just never discover that. He just kept investigating and investigating and investigating and never doing anything.
Bill Lockyer has already said he's not going to do anything. However, the U.S. Justice Department, George Bush's Justice Department, is looking into it. The FBI is investigating it. When they will get that done is on the FBI's time. We don't have any control of that. In fact, here's the interesting sidelight to the story. The Democrat in the legislature that actually started the investigation on Oracle.
Right.
As soon as the Oracle investigation was over, the committee that he used to do the investigation was fired as the chair of that committee. So the Dems are actively trying to cover up not just this, but this same chairman was going to start an investigation into the Department of Veterans Affairs and some of the screw-ups by the Davis administration there. And the day he announced that investigation was the day the speaker called him in and fired him as chair of that committee.
Well, is this information getting out? Because I would think that, you know, people, whether they be Democrats or Republicans, would be concerned by the degree of corruption that we see permeating every aspect of the current administration.
I do know that this is a developing story, that the LA Times has covered it, that the Sacramento Bee has covered it. The press is pretty much convinced that there's corruption going on. But again, you know, when you're talking about a lot of the liberal press, which is one of the reasons that radio talk show, I think, is so important, but when you're talking about the liberal mainstream press, you know, their choice is if we pursue this corruption too much, we end up with a conservative as a governor, and that having a conservative as a governor is more destructive to a lot of these lefties than having a corrupt liberal.
Well, that's why I do what I do 5 hours a day, and that's why I appreciate so much your taking the time to be here to bring our listeners throughout California, and certainly many of our listeners are from across the country. But people have to understand that California is the fifth or sixth largest economy in the whole world. And what happens in California is going to be reflected by what happens in the rest of the nation, or the rest of the nation is going to reflect what happens here in California. So I think it's so vitally important that people understand the degree of corruption that exists. And, of course, this is what happens when I personally believe when a nation turns its back on God. If there's no morality in the people, why they get the sort of government they deserve. We're going to be back here in just a few moments with Senator Ray Haynes. We'll invite your calls, 464-8295, 1-888-24-LIBERTY. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and one of the things that you can do if you'd like to help us is change your long-distance carrier over to Promise Vision. One of the nicest things about Promise Vision is that when you call them, you've got a real live person. Their rates are competitive. Their service is excellent. And if you call 866-448-5631, that's 866-448-5631, just tell them that you're interested in changing over and mention Radio Liberty, and 15 cents out of every dollar you spend will come to us. Again, that number is 866-448-5631, and we hope that many of you will seriously consider changing your long-distance carrier over to Promise Vision. And then, of course, as you know, we carry the Miracle-2 soap products. We carry them because they're excellent soap, and some people think that they have helped them with various medical problems, rashes, things of that sort. We don't make any claims of that sort, but we do know that an awful lot of people enjoy the soap tremendously. It comes in a regular soap, a moisturizing soap, a lotion, a gel, and of course there's something called a neutralizer, which some people take because they seem to think it helps their epigastric distress, and I know my wife takes it, and really it's cut back tremendously on the unbelievable expense that went into the medicine that was prescribed by a doctor. So all we can do is say give it a try and see if it helps you. If it does, we hope that you'll want to get the various products. You can get an introductory offer, and that is all the five products that I've mentioned, or you can get them individually. But give us a call at 1-800-544-8927, 1-800-5-HIV-WAR, and we'll send you a little pamphlet if you'd like, or you can get the introductory offer. But give us a call at 1-800-5-HIV-WAR. This is a fascinating four-tape set, Genocide. And one of the tapes is an interview with a Dr. Dinigan who heard back in 1969 actually a talk given by Dr. Day, who would later become the president of Planned Parenthood. And Dr. Day laid out the whole plan for America, the fact there are too many people, the fact that we're going to have to create new diseases, the fact that we're going to have to conceal some of the very obvious treatments for cancer, because people are going to have to die of something. They might as well die of cancer. An incredible interview, and a series of other interviews that will go into the background of what is happening in America, why new diseases are cropping up all the time. Call 1-800-5-HIV-WAR for copies of our four-tape set, genocide. It's vitally important that you help us to get this message out across America, because without knowledge, my people perish. America, our values, our future are under attack today. Well, this is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty. Our guest is Senator Ray Haynes, one of the senior senators in the Sacramento there, representing you're down around Riverside?
Yes, western Riverside, northern San Diego County.
All right, fine. Our telephone number, if you'd like to give him a call, you have a question or comment about what's going on up in Sacramento, 1-800-544-8927. You can call us at 888-24-LIBERTY, that's 888-24-LIBERTY, or here in the Central Coast of California is 464-8295, that's 464-8295. Well, at what point does the state get to the point where they just can't pay their bills, or will they be able to just go out and borrow money? Or I know in years past they've actually printed script continue paying the payroll. What's going to happen now, and how long can this continue going?
The state has already missed payroll to the legislative staff members on July 15th. Legislators stopped getting paid July 31, we start running into a real cash problem where we can't borrow money and we won't have any cash problem about October. So sometime between July 15th and October 1, we've got to come up with a budget or we have a real problem.
All right, fine. Well, you don't think it's going to go that far, do you?
No, I don't. But again, I think that it has to. The Dems have not yet gotten the message that we're not going to vote to raise taxes, because they've not sat down with the Republicans and said, "Okay, let's negotiate a deal." They have basically said, "Here's what we're giving you. Take it or leave it." And right now, we're leaving it. And our guys, quite frankly, are willing to, at this moment anyway, they're willing to. To wait till next December, or we have a new governor, or whenever, to negotiate another deal.
And of course, if they don't come through, this is going to run into the election cycle, and it's going to look very, very bad, I would think, for people who, especially with the economy turning back bad, are going to be insisting on raising taxes. That shouldn't be a very, very popular thing at this point in the economic cycle and the election cycle.
Yeah, and when you think about it, I mean, you know, California's economy is so big that most of the country's economic problems today are focused in California. Most of the rest of the country is doing real well. California is having trouble. I mean, it's because of its increased government regulations, the size of government. You know, we've added 44,000 new bureaucrats in the last 3 years. We have increased the cost of workers' compensation of our business. We've increased the cost of regulation on our business. And that slowed business down in California, which has had this sort of effect on the entire national economy that has basically drug it down. So if they don't solve this, if they want to raise taxes, they're going to kill our economy even more and hurt the country even more. To us, I know to those of us in the legislature that are opposed to the new tax, my biggest concern is if we pass it, it's going to have such a huge impact on the national economy that it could drag the whole thing down for a long, long time.
Well, let's go to Steve calling in from Salinas. Hi, Steve. How are you doing?
Good afternoon. Thank you very much. I have a question, and it might sound like pie in the sky, but I'm just curious. Just as U.S. Constitution, allows the president to be the commander-in-chief when called upon by Congress. Is there any thought of only having a governor when called upon by the assembly in a state of emergency? And number two...
No, wait a minute. What are you suggesting?
I'm suggesting that we really only need the governor in a state of emergency. And we really only need the legislature 3 months out of the year if they can't spend. That's what I'm suggesting. I'd like to hear his thoughts about it.
All right. Senator, in many of our states, why the senator and the assembly meet only for a few months every other year. Do you think we have too much government in California?
Well, I think we have a legislature that meets for much too long. We meet 7.5 months a year. And quite frankly, if we could meet in... Honestly, if I were to really analyze it, it would take 4 months a year for us to do our job. But we have 3.5 months where we basically sit around here and collect a paycheck, which is great for the legislators, but is not very helpful to the people of the state of California. So quite frankly, yeah, we could do our job in 4 months and get out of here and leave the people alone for the rest of the year.
Now, I think Steve would like to have the governor not so active, too. How do you feel about that?
Well, I mean, when he was talking about having the governor declare a state of emergency and take over, you don't want the governor to be the dictator.
No, sir, I'm sorry. No, the governor only acts as governor in a state of emergency when called upon by the legislature.
Oh, I see what you're saying. I got it. We don't need the governor. I mean, the governor doesn't do that much, quite frankly. He does not do a whole lot. And a matter of fact, if you take Gray Davis as an example, according to court testimony, he raises money 12 hours a day.
Right.
So, I mean, it's obvious that he's not all that necessary because, and again, when you look at Gray Davis, every time he does something, he screws it up. So he's proof that we'd probably be better off without him.
Well, I've seen these political ads they have of these two cleaning ladies going into his office. Have you seen that?
Yes, I have seen that one. That's a great ad.
Well, it really is. Anything else, Steve?
No, I'm going to hang up. Thanks so much.
Bye-bye. We've got Vince actually calling in from Canada. Vince, can you give us any suggestions as to what we can do to get our situation as good as you have it up there in Canada?
Our socialist state.
Right.
No, the reason why I'm calling in, there's a man that's been on the radio now for the last 5 years on talk shows, and his name is Walter Burian.
Right, uh-huh.
And he's been talking about the Comprehensive Annual Financial Report.
All right.
Has anybody heard about that?
Oh, we've heard about it, and I have looked at ours, and I can't figure the thing out. Have you heard about this? This is supposedly that this Comprehensive Annual Financial Report, supposedly there's a lot of money out there that the various branches of government have salted away in investment funds, and they really don't need to be taxing as much. I've heard about it, but looking at the local one, I've never been able to verify he's right. Do you know anything at all about that, Senator?
I can tell you this, that, you know, there are two ways to look at the way government does money. One is the budget, where we say we're taking in this amount of money and we're going to spend this amount of money. Then you take a look at our cash position, and it is true. There is no question that from a cash perspective, to make it make sense, we will say that we're going to spend, you know, $3 billion on building a freeway. Of course, it takes 10 years to build the freeway, but we'll set aside the $3 billion today. That'll go into a cash account. Now, we're going to build that freeway over the 10 years, but that $3 billion is going to stay in an account somewhere and be earmarked and not spent. Now, interestingly enough, California is, because of the electricity thing, all the electricity expenditures were off-budget expenditures. They were not on any budget line item. We've actually exhausted a lot of our cash because we spent a lot of money on electricity. So we're in a slightly different situation where our bank accounts that, again, 2 years ago had billions and billions and billions of dollars are pretty much exhausted. We're just talking cash accounts. So the guy is correct in sort of when you look at the cash position, you can make the argument, indeed, that a lot of the government agencies all over the place have lots of money in bank accounts that is available for spending, and they have earmarked it for different projects. I've seen the discussions in the report. You know, California's general fund spending is $77 billion. But we take in terms of cash over the year, approximately $160 billion when you include the public employment retirement system, when you include the money that the federal government sends to us, when you include our special funds and the interest that we get, plus the bonds and other things that we borrow, it's about $160 billion a year. And again, you got to be an expert in government accounting to figure out what the heck the government is doing and how they're doing it, and some of that's intentional.
I'm sure it is. Okay, Vince, I hope that answers your question.
Well, you know, actually, Dr. Stan, there's a little more. He claims, as Walter Brain, that the state of California has close to $1 trillion stashed away in this your second set of books.
Well,
he said, like, for instance, Orange County here, was it 4 or 5 years ago when they lost $1 billion on these derivatives?
Mm-hmm.
He says that was only 1/16th of what they have stashed away in these secret second set of books.
Yeah, and I will say this. He is correct in the sense that when the state does earmark money, they set it aside in a separate account. But
this
usually
is money that's taken in other than taxes. This is everything that's taken in. Like, he used the state of New Jersey, and they had something like $170 billion stashed away that was in the second set of books. And this is all money that was taken in. And this is going back like in the 80s.
Well,
but
Vince,
I've
gone through the comprehensive report here in my own local community.
Right.
And I sure don't find it. I've talked to Walter Burry, and he's very convincing.
Yeah.
But we got other problems. Hey, thanks so much for calling.
Okay.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
And we got Thomas calling from Salinas. Hi, Thomas.
How you doing, Dr. Stan?
Doing fine. How about you?
Oh, hanging in there. I'm calling about probably on the same principle, though, but it's it's a bill, AB 1493. I think the Assembly just passed it last week. It has to do with taxing on the driving.
Yeah, it's a bill. Yeah, it's a bill. Essentially, what they're claiming is they want to control greenhouse gases. So they're giving authority to the California Air Resources Board to come up with strategies to reduce greenhouse gases, and one of the strategies that CARB has come up with in the past has been taxing the number of miles you drive, taxing SUVs and minivans, and essentially increasing the tax on gasoline.
Well, it sounds to me like they've more or less given a carte blanche to a bunch of bureaucrats to do whatever their little hearts desire in the way of regulating us common folks and making our lives miserable. Are they
going
to limit the state officials' use of cars? Or?
No, they don't. What they have done is handed over to CARB, essentially carte blanche, to deal with the question of greenhouse gases. An unelected board, CARB, the California Air Resources Board, pretty much has a blank check to do what they want to address the greenhouse gases, the global warming. The interesting thing is, in this case, that if every car in California parked in the garage for a year and was never driven, it would reduce the total amount of carbon dioxide emissions in the world by like less than 0.1%. So it would have no impact at all on global warming. But they're going to control how you live, where you drive, what you drive, the kinds of things you can drive, and how much those things cost to try and do that.
And I think that's what it's really all about, Thomas. The real thing is not control of greenhouse emissions, it's control of you and your future.
Well,
Ray, we're going to have to run. If you want to hang on till after the break.
That's okay. Thank you very much.
God bless you. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Right now, of course, we have to remind our listeners that Radio Liberty is listener-supported, and we do hope that many of you out there will decide right now you're going to join the Radio Liberty family of supporters, and you do this by giving us a call at 1-800-544-8927, 1-800-5-HIV-WAR for a suggested gift of $20 a month or more, whatever you can afford. Why, you'll get our 4 best tapes of the month, you'll get our monthly newsletter, but more than that, you'll be helping us do what we do, and that is reach out across America 5 hours every day, trying to get people to understand why America is facing the problems we are today. And it is our contention that behind the political, behind the educational, behind the cultural an ideological battle are spiritual forces which are at work, which intend to change the world in which we live forevermore. And, of course, if you believe that there are problems and you'd like to join the Radio Liberty family of supporters, why, give us a call. Again, the number, 1-800-5-HIV-WAR. And then, of course, we hope that you'll go to our website at radioliberty.com, pull down our newsletters and copy them, especially my last newsletter, which will tell you the most unbelievable story of a secret that has been kept by government for 40 years, because they're afraid that if you ever find their secret, you'll never trust them again. Well, I think you need to get that secret out so that people will realize we can't trust government. They are concealing secrets that affect your health and the health of your children. And then, of course, we hope that you'll tell other people about our website at RadioLiberty.com, where our programs can be heard on the Internet 5 hours every day. We hope that you'll tell people about the radio programs, that you'll get them involved, get them studying, get them books, lend them audio tapes, lend them videotapes. You have to help get the word out. A book that will really help you to understand the nature of the spiritual battle in which we're currently involved is Gary Kaw's book, The Demonic Roots of Globalism. Now, you may remember Gary Kaw's book, En Route to Global Occupation. His second book, The Demonic Roots of Globalism, goes into the very real spiritual forces, the dark and sinister spiritual forces, which have energized those people who are molding the world in which we live today. Going to the background of Masonry, Theosophy, and he actually quotes extensively from the writings of these people who have helped to mold the events of the 20th century. The Demonic Roots of Globalism by Gary Kaw will give you tremendous insight into the background of what's happening in America today, and unless you understand the spiritual forces at work, you really can't understand the unfolding of events. Call 1-800-5-HIV-WAR and ask for The Demonic Roots of Globalism by Gary Kaw. This is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty, and our guest this afternoon, Senator Ray Haynes. And, of course, we've got Roger calling in from Allentown. Roger, you have a question or comment?
Yes, gentlemen, and please drop me quick if this doesn't resonate, but I think it's a nationwide problem. That is the big push to replace these truly crushing property taxes for education, to reduce them and transfer more of the funding up to the state level.
I'm sorry, I don't understand what you're talking about.
Well, to transfer the funding for education up to the state level, reduce the crushing property taxes, as the only education experts I care to listen to point out, that's all over for any possibility of improving government education once this happens.
There's no question. In California, as an example, the effect of Proposition 13, it wasn't Proposition 13's fault. But indeed, what happened was, with the passage of Prop 13, the left-wing legislators said there's no way, you know, education can survive, and they essentially moved the entire financing of the schools up to the state level, essentially cementing the teachers' union, the California Teachers Association, the union representing all the teachers, cementing their power base and accelerating the slide of educational quality in California beyond that. And that's why now all the lefties will say it was Prop 13's fault. But what happened was the cause was the left-wing legislators, in the wake of Proposition 13, instead of making real educational changes, what they did was they just shifted the finances up to the state. Today we spend about 54-55% of the money that comes into the state taxes, and state tax dollars gets spent on local education.
I don't think we're getting our money's worth.
No, we are spending $52 billion a year. $52 billion a year. A whole bunch of adults make a whole bunch of money off our kids. And the superintendent of the L.A. County School, L.A. Unified School District, earns over $200,000 a year to manage the worst school system in the country. I mean, that's the kind of things that are going on, and the impact that the caller's implication that shifting the money up to the state does have that impact. If indeed you make absolutely no changes in how you run the government schools, shifting the financing from the local financing to the state financing is disastrous. But it's usually done by the politicians in the wake of the effort of the local citizens to cut their own taxes. The tax burden on the people of the state of California is significantly higher today than it was pre-Prop 13, but that's mainly because the tax burden has been significantly increased at the state level to make up for the cut taxes at the local level. You can't do a property tax cut initiative or effort unless you also either hold taxes or cut taxes at the state level as well.
Okay, anything else, Roger?
Well, are there any signs the public's seeing through the demagoguery, or just double dittos?
Well, not yet. I mean, and you know, people are trying to figure out what's going on, and there is a lot of noise, particularly, again, I mean, it takes a substantial amount of education. There is a lot of noise that comes from, again, the media that hides the fact that, indeed, the problem is not the tax cutters. The problem is the big spenders in government, that's going to take some work. And it's going to take some people focusing and educating and talking about just the kind of things you're talking about, that the problem is the size of government and the things that government tries to do, and it's not, the problem is not people trying to reduce their burden on, the tax burden on themselves.
Okay.
God bless you.
Thanks very much, Roger. Okay, fine. Our telephone number, 464-8295 or 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 464-8295 or 1-888-24-LIBERTY. Our guest is Senator Ray Haines. And, of course, we're talking about the very, very real problems we have here in the state of California. What was this legislation they passed not too long ago that is going to force our education, our government schools, to begin introducing homosexuality into our schools in kindergarten? What's the significance of that?
There is an effort. Again, you're talking about a concerted effort on the part of the schools to start with kids, teaching them that homosexuality is a valid lifestyle under the guise of stopping discrimination against homosexuals, teaching kids from the time that they're in kindergarten and putting into the curriculum, you know, homosexual role models and teaching against homosexual discrimination and essentially attacking anybody who believes that homosexuality or those who engage in homosexual behavior are doing the wrong thing. We have some very active homosexuals in our legislature, and they have pushed through legislation that would essentially require, as a part of our curriculum, those things be taught essentially from the beginning of the time a kid gets into school.
Well, of course, we know from history that if you study why Greece and Rome and other great nations have just gone down the tubes, it's because they've adopted this homosexual lifestyle, the sexual permissiveness. No nation has ever survived this sort of attack on the moral foundations of society and upon the family, which is the basic unit of any society. Destroy the family, you destroy the nation.
Well, I mean, you hit it right on the nose, and it's not, I mean, it's because the essence of engaging in permissive sexual behavior is the essence of self-indulgence. I mean, that's indulging whatever, you know, the sort of if it feels good, do it sort of approach to life, and you can't base a society on that. And that, the challenge of counteracting that is, you know, the consequences of this, if it feels good, do it kind of approach to life is the kind of corporate greed things that are going on because in that instance, well, you know, there's no moral problem with me stealing from somebody. There's no moral problem with the government essentially taking people's money and not giving them anything back in return. And for those who don't care about money but care about sexual indulgence, that's just another manifestation of that same kind of selfishness. And that's the challenge in total to society. And a moral code says selfishness is wrong, that, you know, you ought to be devoting yourself, you know, to developing society and raising your children and doing the right thing that way. And if you're not teaching that, your society will collapse.
Well, we are in the process now of trying to use all of our radio programs to encourage parents, if they love their children or they love their grandchildren, to get them out of government schools and bring them up in the way of the Lord, because there's no way that they're going to get brought up in the way of the Lord in the government schools, because they have a different agenda. Would you agree or disagree?
There is a definite push within the government schools to separate people from their faith, and particularly the kids. They want to make sure the parents cannot influence their children for a solid Christian faith. There's no question about that.
Why would any Christian parent send their children to a government school, knowing full well that the purpose of that school is to indoctrinate them in evolution and, of course, in sensuality, and, of course, to destroy their moral foundation, and certainly even destroy the parent's authority over the child? Why would any parent do that?
Well, I think it's more a function of ignorance. The parent doesn't think that that's what's going on, but, I mean, I see it every day in the things that I do. That's definitely the agenda, and part of educating, part of doing the things that you're doing is educating the parents that indeed those things are going on, and that parents ought to do what it takes. I told it to a lobbyist for the LA Unified School District. I've made it my life's mission to make sure that no matter what I do, no matter what I go, where I go, people like him will never get anywhere close to my kids, because what they think is right for my kids is absolutely wrong. And it's the same way for every Christian parent throughout this country, or throughout the state, for sure.
Well, God bless you for everything you do up there, Senator. And do you have any parting thoughts for our listeners? You know, you are on the front lines of this battle. I know you're there not for personal aggrandizement or personal profit. You're there for idealism. I know Senator Ray Haynes, and he's a man of character and integrity. What are your parting thoughts for our listeners?
Well, you know, I think people need to get... The only way we're going to win this battle is by taking back this state street by street, neighborhood by neighborhood, town by town, and it's going to take people getting interested and in the battle for the right to do that. Talking to your friends and neighbors, getting involved in the campaigns of right-thinking people, pushing an agenda not just to your kids, but to your neighbors, in your church, wherever you can influence people, quite frankly, to turn this thing around. This is not going to come from the top down. Bill Simon as governor in December will be a good thing, in my opinion. But that's not going to change California. It's people in every single street and every single neighborhood and every single town across the state getting out of their chair, turning off the television set, and getting interested and excited about this stuff to turn California around. Because that right now, we need that army in order to take the ground of this state.
Amen to that. Well, thank you so very much for everything you do, and I hope everybody out there will take the Senator's advice. He gives full time on this. You ought to be able to give at least a few hours a day, a few hours every week to trying to get the message out. God bless you. Thank you so much, Ray.
Thank you, Stan.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
All right, fine. Well, I'm privileged to have had the opportunity to know Ray. He does a great, great job, and he's totally dedicated to this battle in which I'm engaged, which I hope you will be engaged along with us. So please, get involved. Get educated. We have a 10-point program that we offer to people free of charge, and they just give us a call at 1-800-5-HIV-WAR. Number one is have a personal relationship with the Lord, because you can't understand what's going on unless you understand that we're involved in a spiritual battle. Number two is learn about our Christian heritage. Yes, ladies and gentlemen, the Supreme Court and the United States and all of certainly our state Supreme Courts repeatedly held that this was a Christian country. So how did we lose the Christian foundations for this once great society? Well, that's where my book, The Brotherhood of Darkness, will come in, because we tell you why the Supreme Court took God out of our schools. Everybody knows they did, but why did they do it? Give us a call at 1-800-5-HIV-WAR. Get a copy of Brotherhood of Darkness. And then, of course, the third point is to learn what the bad guys are doing. And Brotherhood of Darkness will tell you that. And then, of course, we ask you to help us educate others. Well, we're out of time, but we ask you, of course, to pray for America, to pray for revival, to pray for our leaders, to pray for our ministers. And lastly, we ask you to pray for my ministry, Radio Liberty, for our provision and protection. And so until tomorrow at the same time, Dr. Stan, goodbye, and may the Lord be with you.